we have put Anthony from DriveTech in the literal hot seat today in Fully Charged Off, where we've been recording a podcast. Now, what you're about to hear is when somebody in life has a mission, and that mission comes from a sad place turned good. So please sit back and relax and enjoy this podcast, where we'll be picking his brain about road safety, decarbonisation, and how to make sure that the company you work for is always doing the right thing.
Welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on the zero emission future we all hope for. And I am joined by the wonderful Sarah Sloman.
I wondered who you're going to pick out of the two of us then.
I was kind of like doing that.
We appear to be inside a car because we are at the first ever Fully Charged Live North.
We are. And it's very exciting. And even more exciting than that, we're joined by Anthony.
This guy.
Yay. Fantastic. Anthony, welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here. Great to have an event in the North as well.
Well, I was
You've got
say,
a Northerner.
Yeah, we got our own special Northerner for the event in the North. Fantastic. Even speaks the lingo.
Although we did do some terrible impressions earlier. We won't do that on this interview.
Yeah, no, we'd never do impressions of Northerners ever.
Very good.
You'll have to do us next.
Very good. Anthony, welcome to the podcast. Who do you work for? Now, we know this, but tell the listeners.
I work for DriveTech, who are part of the AA, and we specialise in risk management solutions for fleets, all about driver safety and road safety.
Now, before the cameras were rolling, you were telling us that you got into this role because you've always had a passion for road safety. Is that right? Can you tell us a bit more about how you ended up working for DriveTech?
So I've been in the fleet industry for about 13 years now, and I've always had a passion for road safety and keeping my drivers safe. It were always my vision that drivers getting home after a day's work was the priority amongst all the other things that go on within the fleet industry. So naturally, being in the industry, this role came up just over a year ago, and decided that I wanted to be part of this journey that DriveTech are on. And here I am today.
Fantastic, because I remember we worked together. It was sort of two sides of the same coin, right?
We did.
Back in the day when you were at, was it N-Power?
It was N-Power, yes.
N-Power, not N-People, N-Power. And N-Power, a utilities company up here in the North, and we came up with Emily.
Yes.
And these are all people from LeasePlan, by the way. That was where we were, and we were working together.
Oh, I don't feel excluded at all.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. But it was evident then, I think, in our conversations that you were always focused on that. Is there a reason why, you know, Anthony wants to make sure people are safe? Is there something, you know, what caused you to think that way?
Yeah, well, it takes me back about 15 years, and it's a bit of a sad story as far as I'm concerned, because I lost one of my best friends. Unfortunately, Gareth fell asleep whilst driving at the wheel, and we lost him many years ago. And since then, I always wanted to, because I'm within the industry, I wanted to do my bit to try and help others, you know, on that journey and try and mitigate risk wherever I possibly could.
Oh, that's amazing, and I think it exemplifies your character, you know, to want to make a difference having lost a good friend. And you know, these are the things that shape us, aren't they? So thank you for telling us that. So how have you approached that as you've gone on and it, you know, tackled it in your career? What's that driven you to do?
Yeah, well, going back to my Empower experience, I managed an operational team there back in my early days when I used to work there, and always had an interest in making the vehicles compliant, making sure they were serviced on time, all the rest of it. And sort of from there on in, really, I was more and more invested with making sure the right protocols were in place, making sure we were doing all the right things. You know, and, you know, it was important to obviously get jobs done and serve our customers and have a good customer experience. But, you know, top of the agenda was always keeping the drivers safe. And that's where I started my journey, really, where thinking about, you know, this is a priority and something that I've always prioritised as a fleet manager as well, because most of my years in the industry is as a fleet manager. And, you know, as a fleet manager, you get pulled in many different areas, you know, costs, sustainability. Mm. But driver safety was always right up there at the top.
Yeah. Mm. Fleet managers of today have to wear so many hats. And you just mentioned sustainability there. How does DriveTech ensure that sustainability is embedded with your practices?
Yeah, we're absolutely all over it. We're embracing everything that's happening. And, you know, our sort of presence here as well is great. We're still learning like everybody else. You know, it's like a continuous journey. But internally, we've got some really talented people. We're putting together some really good stuff. We're trying to educate the community on, you know, the transition to electric vehicles. We've got various training courses, familiarisation. We're also developing e-learning as well, just short, sharp videos to try and get people switched on to, you know, the whole sort of journey and become comfortable with it, really.
Yeah, one of the first times I encountered DriveTech was part of the EV rally. And on a nightly basis, we'd have a video submitted to the group chat about how next best, like your next day, how to prepare, how to be a calm driver, how to get the most out of your electric vehicle. Mm. And that was when I really started to realise, God, DriveTech isn't just about the drivers, about the families as well, and the people who's going to be in the vehicle with you. Mm. And with your previous role in road safety, I actually did a stint in road safety, and it does change you. You see the police reports, you see things that come through, and you realise that these boxes that we so love have to be treated as to be treated with great respect, I think. Mm. Choosing my words carefully there. And you come to a show like this, and it's lovely to see people so excited about the vehicles. Have you had a chance to drive any today?
I've not driven any vehicles today, no. I still plan to. And I want to try some vehicles that I've not been in before, because there's quite a few new manufacturers here as well, some that I've not heard of before. But throughout my journey with electric vehicles, I drove my first electric vehicle in 2010.
Nice.
Nissan Leaf, Renault Zoe, and we were trialling those vehicles at M-Power and just understanding how they could work in our business. And that was, what, 13 years ago?
Yeah.
And things have changed now. And look at today, there's so many different types of vehicles available, and I'm excited to get in there and give them a go and see how they've evolved.
Mm. And does, I mean, is the sort of impact of the sustainability the challenge? Because we've got vehicles here on site that will do 0 to 60 in ridiculous times, you know, 1.9 seconds if the Tesla's around, but, you know, 2, 3, 4 seconds. It's ridiculous. And you know, I obviously deal a lot with vans, and it's too much in the van world. What's the impact on the sustainability transition on DriveTech's business and how you go to market?
Yeah, I think that's a really important factor, because a lot of these features that feature now in the electric vehicles, whether it's cars or vans, probably is, you know, new to a lot of people. Mm. And I think when we're talking about the torque of the vehicle and, you know, even a vehicle being automatic, for example, I think it's all things that we need to educate the wider community on. You know, I think probably, excuse me, I think quite a lot of people would get in a car and love to put the foot down and go at those speeds, and you know, it's a lot of fun. But at the same time, we need to be aware that, you know, there's pedestrians, there's other road users that we need to be aware of, and, you know, making sure the vehicles are treading the right way is absolutely optimal.
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether we interpret the northern word tret for treated. But you tret and reet.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how boiling hot it is in this.
It is beginning to boil.
Yeah, for those that don't know, we did have a really exciting setup where we could see the whole show across this showground here in Harrogate, but we decided to hop in this vehicle and spend the time intimately.
Because it was windy.
It was very breezy out there.
Not good for the microphones. That's not me, by the way. That was the air outside. Boy, I know. John's out there going, yeah, we know about you.
I wanted to understand a bit more about DriveTech itself, and we'll come back to you and your journey, because I think people will be really interested to hear more. About commercially, what's the focus for DriveTech in 2023? Because, you know, this great work has to continue. How is it supported financially? How does it happen?
Yeah, so I've already sort of talked about the transition to electric vehicles. We feel like that's a real sort of important part of our agenda. You know, we've got lots going on in that space. But we're also growing some different business verticals. Consultancy is one of those, in terms of I'd say supporting smaller fleets, but we're also supporting the larger fleets as well. We don't want to, you know, single anybody out really, because we appreciate that there's probably some large fleets out there that need a bit of help as well. So we've got loads of expertise in the business, and we just want to draw on that expertise around the business to help people.
So you've got the consultancy vertical, presumably the training vertical. Mm. What have I missed? What else is there?
We've got lots going on in that space. Risk management, consultancy.
You check people's driving licenses, and you can provide some video stuff as well.
We do, yeah. So some of the core products that we've got, as well as license check-in, is risk assessment. So we've got a tool where we offer this out to fleets, where they can literally go in there and answer questions about their day-to-day driving, who they are, what they do, and that builds up a risk profile, and that helps us then to assign e-learning to help fleets along that journey, really, when they're managing risk. That's as well as the stuff like the workshops that we do, the driver training. Driver training as well is forming a different route. You know, we're looking at digital solutions these days, because everything seems to be going in that direction. But we also pin it back. We do the on-road stuff. We do stuff like today, in a car, face-to-face, one-to-one, two-to-one. And I think there's still a lot of value in that, really. Mm. You know, there's... I think through the hard times of COVID, you know, we all kind of switched to a more digital way of working. And I think that's great. You know, I think that's great for the environment. I think it's great in terms of safety, if we can take vehicles off the road. But at the same time, I think there's a real need to have a face-to-face conversation. And I think that works well in our industry.
Yeah, no, it certainly does. I'm conscious that, you know, we've already touched on what was a big deciding factor in you focusing on safety. I wonder, you know, from a personal perspective, who has been the biggest influence on your life as you've grown up into the industry? Is it something industry focused, or have you kind of looked at some person or some individual close to you in your life that has made such a difference?
If you want to say it's Paul Kirby that's inspired you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know we worked together a long time ago, and I know that you've been... Yeah, no, go on.
As well as you, Paul.
In addition.
Family, definitely. Family. I mean, as a father now, you know, everything kind of hits home a little bit more. You know, when we're talking about safety, I think about my own kids, and I think about those close to me. But the real sort of rock I'd have to call out has been my wife. You know, she's just amazing in that respect, you know. She's in a totally different industry. She works in the wedding industry. So we've got absolutely no links whatsoever to what I do day to day. But she understands what I'm doing. She understands me. She sits down and listens. When half of the time she doesn't know what I'm on about. And she's a good sounding board, really. So, you know, she's a great person, and she understands when I need to be away from work. She understands when, you know, I'm looking at emails at night time and trying to support people. And I think that relationship really that we've got in that respect really kind of cements what I'm doing. Yeah.
Keeps you grounded, but also, I guess, from... You know, when you think about your experience in life, you know, you want to keep everybody safe. And focusing with your wife and your kids front of mind gives you that drive, doesn't it?
It sounds like you married your best friend. Which is amazing. And actually, we were talking a lot last week. We had the ITC Hub down in Farnborough, and the conversation around drivers is always a strange one, because it's almost calling them something. They're not people anymore. They're drivers. And when there's a fast car coming towards you, you go, that car's going too fast. Well, it's not going too fast at all. It is the driver, the person behind the wheel. And having someone like you that's personable and can translate that, I think, is so important. But we're talking about a lot about how technology is evolving. Have you seen the advice that DriveTech has had to give change over the years? Because now the driver, the person, the husband, wife, mother, father, brother or sister is actually fundamental to the concept design of the vehicles themselves. Oh. So we've seen improvements in cab facilities, and more recently on the infrastructure side, which is where I sit, we're seeing the demand for the bays where people will spend the night in a truck, for example, improving. So I wondered, as you go through your verticals and your commercial development this year and next, are you going to start to see a need for the driver's voice to be heard a little better about what they need and want from their working day?
Absolutely, Sarah, yeah. And I think it's probably, you know, part of where we want to go as a business as well, in terms of supporting manufacturers and everybody else for that matter, because, you know, when the general public are looking at buying new vehicles, buying electric vehicles, I think we can be there to support them. You know, when it comes to handover, handover is just a little thing, you know, but generally these days, and no offence to anybody, but, you know, we'll buy a car and we'll get the keys thrown at us and that's it. Thank you very much. I think there needs to be a little bit more around, you know, actually spending a bit of time and just understanding the vehicle, what it does, and just making the driver feel a bit more special as well throughout that process, just so that, you know, they can address their needs.
And when you were talking earlier about that kind of element of one-to-one driving, I know that that was something that I've seen operated by a couple of companies. I can't remember whether you guys did it with your drivers at Empower, but that one-to-one training, I think, particularly with the transition to electric vehicles, but I think vehicles in general, that when you jump in that vehicle, you get minimal handover, and drivers, particularly of commercial vehicles, and of course I would bring the conversation subtly back around.
Wait, do you like vans?
I like
vans.
I'm a van guy.
I thought you might do.
So bringing them back, you know, drivers are changing constantly in vans, and they don't have that same ownership and don't have that same personal connection to the vehicle. Therefore, they're less likely to treat it well. They're less likely to be careful. How, you know, talk me through the sort of one-to-one element of that driving and what difference that makes.
Yeah. And I agree with you totally there, Paul. I think that, you know, through time, you know, involving all drivers, not just your company car drivers, get the drivers of the commercial vehicles and understand their needs as well. I think what's always worked well for me as a fleet manager, particularly at Empower, is when we were going through a cycle of change, whether it was, you know, old ICE vehicles or moving towards electric vehicles, we always made sure that communication was top of the agenda in terms of involving drivers, getting their feedback, understanding what works for them on a daily basis. Because for me as a fleet manager, as much as I can spend days out with drivers and understand what they do, I think it's really important to involve them, because they're using the vehicles on a day-to-day basis. You know, they need to load the vehicles with their work equipment. And I think if you involve them through the journey, that's always helped me in terms of understanding where we need to be. I mean, there's challenges around that in terms of the drivers always want the best of the best, and sometimes there's a challenge on commercials when it comes to stuff like that. But involving them, you know, doing the track days, you know, getting vehicles involved, letting them drive them, getting feedback. Said it before, making mistakes is a good one.
You know,
I see that as a positive. You know, somebody might see it as a negative, but I think making mistakes along the way and learning from those mistakes and progressing is really a key as well.
A lot of work going in here. What does success look like? What does the future look like in terms of, you know, you look back and you think, yeah, we did what we were intending to do. What does success look like for you, but for DriveTech too?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, continue this journey, continue what we're doing, looking at different modes of transport. You know, I know that electric vehicles, cars and vans are really important, but there's people flying around on e-mopeds and e-scooters these days. It's like, what are we doing to support those drivers as well and those riders? So, you know, we're conscious that there's lots of other modes of transport. I think there's a lot to do in that space in terms of support. As a business, you know, that aligns to that as well. You know, we've got our digital strategy. We've got, you know, the verticals that I've spoke about, and, you know, we'll carry on adapting to the marketplace, really. I think we're quite flexible as a company.
It's a really nice niche for you guys. Like, imagine if at an event like this, if you took a car out, you got to take it out with a drive tech professional.
Wow.
That would be such a good concept, because they put racing drivers in cars as kind of track days. But wouldn't it be lovely if everyone experiencing, because we know from our industry that if you get what we call bums on seats, that translates to their purchasing decisions. Yeah. More likely, the reason these people pay so much to be here, like we're sat in a Ford right now, Ford Cougar, I think it is. People are walking around the vehicle, looking in at us, doing our interview, and they're thinking, well, it's a really nice car, and they won't buy it today, 100% not, but they will next time they see one go, hey, I saw that at that show. Then imagine if you could add a layer from Drive Tech on top of that, where you went out in the vehicle and were shown all the features, all like a mini handover before you've even bought it. Well, not only would that be a hugely powerful selling tool, but demonstrates all the verticals that you're trying to commercially make work at the same time.
So before you can answer this, we need to and keep it a secret until Anthony's been able to tell his boss.
Oh, yeah.
What a brilliant idea he has just had. So, and then they'll find out that Sarah's idea, really.
I'm all for it. I think it would really improve the safety aspect when you, because the handover is nothing. Like, the person that delivered my vehicle asked me how to open the door. And I'm thinking, I can work it out. Can you work it out? You know, you should have just left it here. I would have worked it out without you. You know, so immediately I had no connection to the vehicle. I didn't have any sort of support at all. And the answer was download an app. And I just, that's fine for me. But there's a nice acid test out there. Could your mum do it? And my mum could definitely at this point not do that. So, you know, that's not helping everybody adopt EV. This isn't helping everybody take their next step away from internal combustion. so I recommend you pitch it to Fully Charged and see if next
give me
year.
A couple of months, Sarah, and I'll maybe come back with some, and maybe this will just be BAU next time we're at one of these events. Let's see. But no, I agree. I think there's a lot of emphasis on digital these days. We all know about social media and things like that, but you know, I think it's easy for somebody to just say, yeah, have a look at our app or our website. I think it needs to be a bit more personal, personally, and you know, actually sitting like we are now and talking to each other about it. I think that works well.
Some guy just tried the door.
So, and also sitting here like we are now, but with the aircon on or a window open, because it's boiling.
It is. I feel like a dog.
Well, yeah, but this is reality. You know, leaving all that. Oh, we've opened a door. That's a bit dodgy. But anyway, if I open this one as well, we might get some air coming all the way through. The sound will change, no doubt. But there we go. So, who's Anthony the person? What do you like to do outside of work? Because I'd like to get to know you a bit.
Well, we know he ate granola for breakfast.
Granola, yeah. And he's got a lovely wife and some kids. One, two, five, seven?
So, yeah, I've got two kids. I've got a boy, Kobe, who's 4 years old. And I've got a girl, Eden, who is 5 months old.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this is all still
That's
very
why
new.
You look so bleary-eyed.
Exactly, yeah. That is exactly why, Paul. And, yeah, that's still a little bit of a new thing again, really, because, you know, you've had one kid and you think, oh, yeah, mastered that. And then another one comes along and it's like, oh, here we go again. So, yeah, love my kids. Been married for, I should not be hesitating here.
No.
Been married for 6 years.
I thought you were going to say been married 4 times. So, in a way, you came out of that one.
So, yeah, 6 years. Got married in Cyprus. That's where my dad comes from. So
we
spend a bit of time out there seeing family. Mum and dad are out there at the moment, which I'm very jealous about, or I was this morning when it was raining anyway.
Yeah, not so bad now.
Yeah. But, no, I live locally as well to here at Fully Charged in the north. I'm living in Halifax, which is about 20 miles away.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's kind of a central point for everywhere that I kind of go on business. And what do I do? I like to sort of keep fit and stuff because, as we know, we're hybrid working. You can sometimes be a little bit static in your office. So I like going out walking, running, playing football. Played football last night, and that's another reason why my eyes are looking a little bit blurry today. But yeah, I generally like to sort of make sure that my well-being is on the agenda as well.
I think it's a good point. Because we at the EV Cafe, you know, focus a lot on mental health. Do you treat your own mental health like consciously, do you work on it? Do you kind of do things? Because you mentioned about being stuck in one place. Hybrid working's had its downsides, right? And the whole COVID thing. How have you handled that?
Yeah, I mean, going back to COVID, that was a difficult period, you know, having almost like a newborn in the house and having to manage that situation amongst, you know, balancing work as well was really quite challenging. But it's really important to me. You know, I'll speak to other people. Some people are not so bothered about mental well-being. It's really, really important to me. And I know it's important to a lot of people. I think it's right to get the right balance. You know, I think that being out in the open air, you know, feeling the sun on your face and, you know, I generally, when I'm going out on walks, I listen to podcasts and things like that. EV Cafe, obviously.
Of course.
Plug. but I think it's important just to kind of switch off as well for a little bit and just reset, reflect. I am a reflector. I like to sort of think about things, think about meetings that I've been in, think about events. And then that kind of shapes me up for, you know, what's to come after that, really. So I do think it's really important. I think it's good to look after yourself as well as, you know, looking after others.
Does Drive Tech encourage this as an employer?
Absolutely. They're very, very sort of keen on the hybrid working and the balance. And I think hybrid working does work for a lot of people, especially people with families and other interests where you can balance things. Because I think probably, and I'll use Empower as an example, that was very 9-to-5, you know, but that was probably 10 years ago when there wasn't as much emphasis, whereas now it's there's much more emphasis, and I think employers, including DriveTech, are very flexible in that respect, and I think the employees, you know, receive the benefits from that as well.
Yeah, and the reason we were focusing on that commerciality, like how is DriveTech shaping, what does success look like, and what does 2023 and 2024 have in store, is because businesses seem to be moving away from that 9-to-5 now and focusing more on the output that a business can produce through its staff, and mental health and well-being is a huge part of that. I would actually discourage people from doing their exercise and listening to podcasts or music, which I know sounds really controversial, but there's been study after study about how that's no different from filling your brain with work. Yes, you are more relaxed, but you're still being triggered by the things it's saying, otherwise it's a boring podcast anyway. So really try to think about just yourself, your family and nature, and being focused on the task at hand, which could be walking or running, but maybe not just during football. I wouldn't recommend that for your but no, I think that's definitely something I've noticed, is we stop work and then we start something else, whether that's consuming box sets or listening to back-to-back podcasts and trying to improve our knowledge and be more employable and find the right answer for the next question. And what I've really noticed about you is you present yourself as so wonderfully calm, and I think that's probably your lovely family grounding. And having a child during lockdown means you're a little bit robbed from that sort of paternity leave experience. You couldn't go out with the other mums and dads and newborns. So now that you've got your second chance with is it Eden you just said?
Yeah.
Then 5 months in, you've got plenty of time ahead of you.
I love names. Did you go through a process to choose Kobe and Eden? Was it just you flick through the pages and oh, that looks nice. Or was there meaning to it?
Well, it's a really good, your name, did they, Paul?
It's a really good question. Yeah.
Well, yes, actually, but there's a long story. Go on.
With Kobe, it was very much you know, we went through books and websites and we made a list and we were crossing things off. But we were gonna call Kobe something quite different, and then he was, because we had a shortlist of 2 or 3 names, and when he was born, we just both of us pointed to Kobe straight away. Sometimes people say you can tell the name by the face, even though they change daily, but yeah, that's how we got to Kobe. But when it came to Eden, that's after Alex, my wife's grandmother, who was called Edith. Now, sadly, she's passed away, but we wanted to just remember her a little bit and, you know, adapt the name slightly towards her. So that's where we got to that.
Just a really caring heart in you.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
it's oozing through. There is meaning in your life, and it is a lovely thing to get up close to. And I think your customers and your friends and your family are really lucky to have a good geezer like you. Sorry, that's a down south phrase. What would you say up here?
Top bloke.
A top bloke. A top bloke.
A top bloke.
A reek good fella. Absolutely. To tret your eat. But no, it really comes across. So, thinking about the future, I'm going to put a wand in your hand. Mm. Magic wand. As it were. Sorry, everybody. A magic wand that maybe you can wave. Because I think if you're waving... For those of you not watching this, Sarah's giggling like a big child.
Sorry.
I take full responsibility, I'm sorry. But so we're giving you some magic dust. Let's go with magic dust, that's safer. To sprinkle in your own way, what would you do that would make a difference to the world that we're in at the minute?
I think when it comes to... All right, let's use sustainability. Let's use this journey that we're on to try and decarbonise the planet. Because... you know, I like to watch programmes, I like to watch the stuff that David Attenborough does and everybody else around trying to make the world a better place. I think we're doing a lot of great stuff here in the UK, in Europe, around sustainability and, you know, trying to reduce waste and decarbonise the planet, like I said. I think if I could, I'd spread that education and that emphasis to the wider planet. And what I'm saying by that is I've done a little bit of travelling. I've been across the world. I've been lucky enough to do that, both with a backpack with my friends and, you know, on nice holidays. And I won't name certain places, but you just think that some of the other places that are, you know, heavily polluting the planet would sign on to our journey that we're doing today. So if I could change anything, I'd change that and get everybody doing, you know, the right things around what we can change.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I think that's really wholesome. I think it shows that you're in your role doing the bit that you can do. And that's what we're trying to do on the EV Cafe as well. Just celebrate, communicate, educate. So I've really enjoyed talking to you and learning more and more about DriveTech.
Thank you.
And... about Anthony.
Yeah.
It's been really good to, well, we've met, but to get to know you a little bit more. And that's what we love about these podcasts, isn't it? We get to meet great people. There's somebody that you should check out, and everybody listening also, a guy called Chris Ramsey. Have you heard of him? So Chris Ramsey is currently making a world journey from the North Pole to the South Pole. Journey never been done
before.
Yeah,
world first.
Mm. Yeah, world first. And but the interesting point is that he is going through all of North America, and we know that North America is a little bit of a sleeping giant, waking up slowly. But he's going with STEM as his sort of driver, you know, so science, technology, what's the engineering? and maths, all the way through and trying to educate. So follow him, support him, because you'll be waving your magic dust. Phew, we just saved Sarah's giggles again.
The backseat
giggles. Well, this has been great, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And we should do this like carpool karaoke. Should we end with a song? No!
No. I was gonna sing Anthony happy birthday, but it's not his birthday, is it? Is it your birthday?
It could be.
It could be. Right, ready? What? No. Don't do it. Anthony, thank you so much. And thank you to DriveTech for being a sponsor through the AA of the EV Cafe, enabling all of this madness to take place. But more importantly, thank you for the focus on safety. Thank you for sharing a piece of you with us today. And I think we'll all remember that actually driving safely matters, and that by driving safely, we can make a difference to families, to friends, to people around us, because we're protecting them. So, Anthony, thank you for today. And Sarah, thank you for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure. It's great.
My pleasure as well. Thanks for having me. It's been great. Great to talk to you both.